Tonight we're going to talk about the Spirit. We've been in a series talking about mind, body, and spirit, about the three parts that make up who we are, our soul, and our body, and our spirit. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Spirit. And I got a question for you tonight I really want to ask. It might sound a little bit weird, but bear with me. The question is, tonight, are you a walking dead? Are you a walking dead? Have you seen the TV series, Walking Dead? Anybody watch that? Come on, you can be honest. Okay. I generally don't watch scary movies, because as a child, I used to get scared to death, and I couldn't sleep when I'd watch a scary movie. And then I grew up, and I just thought they were dumb. But, so I never really got into zombies a whole lot and stuff. But The Walking Dead is about zombies. And I watched the first season, and I was just blown away by the humanity of the show. It wasn't about zombies, it was about humans. It was about dealing with this terrible disease that had sucked the life out of people that were so close to them. And they would, one particular scene that just really stuck with me was this father and the son in season one. And they're in this house and they have to be very quiet. They can't make any noise because the zombies will come and get them. And at night, the dad would go up into the top of the house and he would look out the window and he would see his wife walking in the streets, completely oblivious to who she was, that she had a family, completely gone. He had a picture of her, and he would look at this picture of him and the family, and he knew that she was just gone. She was gone. She was there. She was gone. She was dead. And I think we can be that same way. We really can. And I believe that some of you tonight may be in that condition. And from the outside, it looks like you're here. Your flesh is here, you're breathing, you're blinking. I mean, you're probably not going to bite somebody. But on the inside, there's just no life. Something has died, something is not right. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How do we bring that piece of us back to life? And how do we feed that? How do we sustain ourselves so that we don't get to that place? So if you don't mind, I'd like to open in prayer tonight. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words, that you would open the hearts of people here tonight, that tonight you would do something powerful, Lord. Not because of anything that we are, Lord, but because of what you are, what you can do. Speak to us, in us, and through us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that we need to talk about is how do you become alive? How do we get here? How do we get to this place, this humanity, where we can be walking around but yet dead inside? It goes back to the beginning of time, in the book of Genesis. We have this story of Adam and Eve. You might have heard it before. I'm not going to assume anything tonight, so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he goes on and he makes light, he makes day, he makes all the birds and the animals, and separates the water and the land, and he makes plants, and he makes all the stuff on our planet that is beautiful and gorgeous and awesome and life-giving. And then he makes man, and he puts man in this beautiful garden and says, Adam, I have a job for you. I want you to name all the animals on the planet. It's just a wonderful creative job to come up with these names for this animal. And he does this and he works hard at it. And God looks at Adam and he realizes Adam is not complete. And so Adam is missing something. Adam needs someone. So he makes Eve. He puts Adam to sleep and he takes a rib and makes Eve. And Adam says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is me. This is, we are one. That we together will be one. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And there's so much life in the garden. It's full of all kinds of fruit that you can eat and stuff. And they're naked and they're not ashamed. They're just loving life. Living and eating fruit, walking around and sharing an awesome relationship with each other and with God. And that's what humanity is supposed to be. Having wonderful relationships with each other and with God. But something happened. God gave them one rule. He said, there's a tree that you're not supposed to eat of. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat of that tree, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. You will definitely die. If you eat of this tree, you will die. Now, I don't know what kind of fruit it was. You know, traditionally, all the paintings, they have a picture of an apple. But the truth is, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of fruit it was. So pick your least favorite fruit and just kind of insert it in there, whatever you hate. You know, I can't think of any fruit that I hate. I'm sure there's one. Maybe eggplant. Is eggplant a fruit? It's kind of a vegetable. Well, I tried. So there's this one thing they're not supposed to do, and it's eat of this tree. And, of course, the one thing you're not supposed to do is the one thing that you're most curious about. And I think it's just part of being human. It really is. And so the woman and Adam, because the scripture says they were together, it says that Adam was with her when she ate of this fruit. The woman begins this conversation with the serpent, and if you learn anything tonight, it's don't talk to snakes. Just don't do that because it's bad news. Anytime a snake starts talking, just walk away. It's not going to end well. It never has. It never will. I don't like snakes at all, let alone talking snakes. So the snake starts kind of wheeling and dealing with Eve, and he starts giving her this pitch of, did God really say, like, you'll die? Like, dude, don't you know, if you eat of this, then you'll become like gods, and that's why God doesn't want you to do it, because he knows that you'll be, like, cool like him and stuff. And he sells her this lie, and Eve believes the lie, and she tries the fruit, and she gives it to Adam, who's standing right with her. And Adam eats it too. And God had said, if you do this thing, this one thing, everything else is fine, it's open, it's free, just one thing you can't do. And they did it. And he said, if you do this, then you'll die. And so Adam and Eve hide themselves because they hear God coming in the garden. In verse 8 of chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And that's where it all started. That's where our death really started. We started hiding. We started pretending. And Adam and Eve hide and they pretend. And God is looking for them because God loves them. God cherishes his relationship with them, just like he cherishes his relationship with you, and he misses them dearly. My wife has gone to Baltimore on a pampered chef trip, and she sends me these texts, I miss you, I love you, I miss you, I love you. Because she's gone, she misses me. And we have a relationship with each other, and God is the same way. And so God says, where are you? And Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the blame game begins and it goes on and on. And we hide and then we start to deflect. Not be real about what's going on inside of us and what we've done. And because of this, then God cursed the serpent, he cursed man, he cursed woman, and he put them out of the garden. Because they had sinned. And the thing you have to understand about God is God is not like the anal retentive perfectionist mom. I don't know if any of you have one of those or anything. But anal retentive is a scientific term, so look it up. I'm not saying a bad word. But, you know, where it's like, it's got to be this way or else, you know, making up stuff so that, because they have to control every aspect of life. That's not what God is. God's not a control freak. You know, he could control everything about us. He could do whatever he wants, but he doesn't. He chooses to let all sorts of things happen. Look at all the evil and the stuff that goes on our planet that God says, you have free will. I'm not a control freak. You know, this is how you choose to live, and that's your choice. And so, but the thing about God is he's perfect and he's holy and he's righteous and he's pure. So you can't be in God's presence if you are not pure and clean. You just can't. Because it's against his nature. You'd be swallowed up. You'd die. And so God has to separate himself from Adam and Eve. Not God's choice, but their choice. When my kids disobey, if I tell them,
if you get out of bed one more time, then
you're going to have to sit in the corner, you're going to get a spanking, or you won't get to watch TV at bedtime tomorrow night or something, whatever it is. And then I go and I sit in the living room and they get out of bed. It's their choice. They have chosen. I choose the punishment. I choose the consequences. And it's the same thing with us. Someone does something against us and we've warned them, then they choose the consequences. That's what Adam and Eve did. They separated them from God. And that's where death really began, with this act in the garden. Because God said, in the day you eat of it, you will die. But did they kill over, like, bodily? No, because they went out of the garden. They were walking around. So what part of them died? It's the part of the inside. It's the part of the inside. And from that point on, humanity was born, stillborn. In fact, in Genesis chapter 4, it said, actually, let's go to Genesis chapter 5. We'll go to the next verse. Genesis chapter 5, we have in verse number 2, male and female, he created them and blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. And it goes on and talks about Adam. Now that might seem like a kind of an insignificant little phrase, but what is it saying here? Adam fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image. The image that Adam had was that of a dead man walking. It was because he had been separated from God. And from that point on, Adam and Eve, they fathered and mothered children who were dead from the inside. And what part of them died? It wasn't their body. It wasn't their soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. We all have bodies. We all have a mind that we can think about things. We all have wills because we choose to do things we should or shouldn't do. And we all have emotions. We cry, you know, we get wrapped up in worship and stuff. So what died? It was the spirit. The spirit is the part of them that allowed them to communicate, have a relationship with God, and that died that day in the garden. From that time on, everyone who was born after Adam and Eve's image was born with a body, a soul, and a dead spirit. There's a story in the New Testament where one of the Pharisees, the rulers, goes to Jesus by nighttime because he doesn't want to be found out. So all of his buddies knew that he was talking to Jesus, it would be bad for him. Because they were against Jesus. The guy's name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, hey, Master, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what? I don't know if you noticed, Jesus, but I'm a lot bigger than I used to be. You know, it ain't going to fit. Like, there's no way how am I going to go, like, back inside my mom and come back out again? Like, Nicodemus says this to Jesus, right? He's just like, Nicodemus, what is flesh, what is spirit, you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. And this is true for us, too. We all have to be born of the Spirit to come alive. And that's the first step. So, how do you do that? Well, God didn't want us to be separated forever. Like we said, he loves us and he misses us. And he wants humanity to be able to come back home where we belong in his presence, in a wonderful relationship with each other and with him. And so what did he do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Now, how does that help anything? Another person dying like another did, how does that help? Remember I said God was perfect and holy? The only sacrifice that would be able to pay for our sin and to be able to bridge the gap would be a pure, perfect, holy sacrifice. It's like if we get a speeding ticket or something like that, you know, we get a fine. We have to pay the fine. Well, the fine was so great that no human being could pay it. No normal human. And so God became human so that he could pay the fine for us, so he could live a pure life. And then he died unjustly with my sin and your sin to kind of pay for our mistakes, to make a way for our spirit to come back alive again, so we can come back to the Father. We can come back into God's family. And the scripture says, all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? We confess that I'm a sinner. God, I messed up. I deserve to be separated from you. That's a point of humility, and that's really important. And then believe. I believe you did die for me, not just for other people. Because we know Jesus was a historical figure. We have all sorts of historical references that he really lived, he really was on the planet. But that he not only just lived and died, but that he died for us, for me. And so, when you do that, when you confess, you've sinned, you messed up, and you say, God, please forgive me, come into my heart, be my Lord, then your spirit comes alive inside you. Your spirit comes alive. Now you're alive again. But it doesn't end there, because I still believe that there are some people who have done that who are still walking dead. Oh, your spirit's alive. You're a Christian. If you were to die right now, you would go to be with God. But right now, you are not living an abundant life in Christ. You're still like dead inside. It's empty inside, broken inside. And why is that? Why is that? Well, our bodies, yeah, it was interesting. Jimmy asked me in the hallway, because last time I saw him, I was like working out and exercising and stuff. And it's been like a week since then, maybe 2 weeks, I don't know. And I'm not doing so hot when I exercise anymore. I've sort of fallen off the wagon a little bit, you know? Like I'm still trying, but I'm just not getting to the gym like I should. Anybody relate? Like, am I alone here? Okay. Thank you. You know, it's hard stuff. And so, you know, what happens when we don't exercise? It's okay, this is the point where you get to talk. What happens when we don't exercise?
We get fat.
What? What?
You get fat.
Oh, you get fat. Yes, that could happen. All sorts of bad stuff happens, right? Last time we had a softball game, we lost. But, you know, I'm not very good at softball. I didn't grow up playing baseball. And so this was my second year playing softball for a church league. And I haven't played many games because a lot of them have been on Saturday nights. And I'm here at Oasis on Saturday nights. So finally get a game on Friday. We don't have a lot of players, which means I'm going to get to play. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of desk work lately. I've been working on some design stuff and other things. And around the church, a lot of my work is like sitting at a desk, studying in front of the computer, in front of books and stuff. And I haven't been exercising like I should. It's been a couple weeks since I've been really active in exercising. Look at my Fitbit. I got like one little leaf, you know. It's like, the flower's supposed to have like 10 to be like really going. And I'm like, got like one little leaf, like wilting. So anyways, I go out and I play softball. I'm like, this is just what I need. Some exercise. This would be great. And I'm playing rover, which is like right behind the shortstop, you know. And so I'm just praying the ball doesn't come to me because I can't catch. And so sure enough, the ball comes to me. And it hit, and it's a grounder. And so I get down in front of it, and I bend down really fast to catch it. And it comes up and bashes me in the chin. I got a little mark there. And I realized right when I bent down that my back went out. Like it was like, oh no. And so my back's sore right now. And so I'm like, trying to keep it okay so it doesn't go out like so bad that I'm like bent over, like walking around like this. But that happened because I haven't been exercising. Because I had a whole lot of just sedentary activity, just sitting around at the computer. And then I go out and I'm like, I'm just gonna go attack the day. You know, I'm gonna go seize the day and do this great athletic thing. And I got messed up. I got messed up because I wasn't conditioned properly. And the same thing can happen to us spiritually. We talked about body, we talked about how we have to eat right. We need to get proper sleep and nourishment and exercise. And all those things are the same with our spirit. We have to eat right. How do we eat right spiritually? We have to spend time in the Word of God. This is spiritual food for our bodies. The Isaiah chapter 55 says that as the water and the snow comes down from heaven, so is His Word. And it can nourish us and it can quench our thirst. And it talks about how the Bible is milk. It is honey. It is vegetables. It is meat. It is all the stuff that we need, all the food groups we need to stay healthy spiritually. And I believe that many of you guys are pretty good at that. Some of you probably not. Some of you are like, you know, I never thought about that. I should probably read my Bible. Yeah, you should. You should get it. You can get like a Bible app for your phone, or if you have a tablet or something, get YouVersion. Just type it into the App Store or Google Play or whatever they have for Android. They have for all. YouVersion, and they have reading plans that you can say, I want to do this reading plan, and every day it will tell you exactly what to read. It even has audio you can listen to, so that you can daily, you know, spend a few minutes and then expand it over time, but just start small and spend time in the Bible every day. You have to do that if you want to stay healthy spiritually. You got to eat, okay? And I think a lot of Christians are pretty good at eating. We come to church, you know, we do the worship stuff, because I think that feeds your spirit too. And we'll listen to God, and we read our Bibles, and we do our Bible studies, but I think we could still be dead inside. We could still be dead inside. Why is that? My partner in this new venture that I'm in, we're designing an iPad application. It's pretty cool. He's this guy that has a startup in Virginia, and I'm consulting with him, doing the design work for this iPad application for public speaking. It's going to be really cool. His name is Sean. And I didn't know a whole lot about Sean. I knew Sean was in the military. I knew Sean was a Christian. That was enough for me, you know. And Sean wanted to build iPad apps. And so I'm like, this is great. You know, we'll do this thing. It'll be fun. Well, the other day I'm on the phone with Sean. And I asked him, what did you do in the military? And he says, well, I was in a tactical team called the SEALs. I'm like, huh? So I'm like, you went to BUDS and stuff. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, Sean, I watched the documentary on BUDS. So that means I get you. Like, we're in the same league here. This is cool. You know? And it was a joke, right? And Sean's like, yeah. Why is that funny? Why is that funny? Listen, you could watch all the documentaries in the world about the SEAL team, right? And it's pretty cool and they're interesting. We've watched them, right, Nate? Some of them, you read about it, you know, the SEAL teams and the snipers and everything. And so, you know, I love this stuff. And so I read about it and I watch the documentaries because I'm just that nerdy. And you could watch all those documentaries and you still would not be a Navy SEAL, right? You could go and become like a PhD in Navy history, naval history. And you could like study the SEALs, like how they started, everything, all along the line. You could know more about the SEALs than the SEALs know about the SEALs. And you could go and have conversations with SEALs. Would you be a Navy SEAL? No, you wouldn't be a Navy SEAL. And it's the same thing with Christianity. See, sometimes we stop with studying the Bible, with reading the Bible. Like I said, it's a must. You have to do it. You have to read the Bible. You've got to fill yourself with that spiritual food. But that's not enough. That is absolutely not enough. Bible study, coming to church, reading the Bible at home is not enough. Why? You're still not a Christian. You're still not a Christian. What makes you a Christian? What makes you a SEAL? You got to go through BUDS. which is their SEAL training school. It's insane, okay? They have to do physical feats of endurance that are just ridiculous. They have to carry like those rubber boats above their head full of water, and they have to like tread water in the ocean for hours and hours and hours. It's just insanity. And most people quit. There's a little bell you ring. You have to ring the bell, you know, and you just, anytime you want, you're like, hey, Jimmy, you won't quit. Just go ring the bell. You know, and they did that all, hey, Ron, you won't quit. Yeah, just go ring the bell. So guys would just ding the bell, and then you're out. And they have this thing called Hell Week, where it's just nonstop. They, like, don't get any sleep for, like, a whole week. And they just put them through physical torture, basically. Just wrecking them. And they have to be able to survive this mentally, physically, emotionally, in order to be able to get into these elite teams, to be able to perform all the stuff that the SEALs have to do. You know, maybe Sean will tell me some stories sometime. I doubt it. But it's the same thing with Christianity. Just because we know all the words, just because we know all the scripture, just because we go to church, just because we sing the songs, just because we have the little fish on our car and the little cross on our lapel and we know all the right words, it doesn't make you a Christian. You have to exercise the Spirit in order to be a Christian. And how do you exercise the Spirit? You exercise the Spirit by reading what it says in here and then doing what it says in here. You exercise the Spirit by Spirit-led activity. When was the last time that the Spirit of God inside of you said, you should go do this? And you said, okay. You just went and did it. Just randomly. No plan, no thought. You just did it. When was the last time that happened? It should be every day. It should be multiple times a day. This is how we should live. This is how we should act. When we talk about offering, you know, at the end of the service, we always take an offering. I always talk about this is how you exercise your giving muscle, you know, by being faithful and giving your tithe to the church. It's the same thing. You know, how are you going to bless somebody with what you have and just say, God, I just want to give this to you when you're not regularly exercising giving? And the opportunity comes up and that person's in need. You're going to think, oh, I got this bill. Let me double check to see if I got it, you know. Or is the Holy Spirit inside of you just saying, bless this person. Just take care of them. Boom. Let me write you a check. Let me give you some money. Let me take care of you. Are we acting in the Spirit? Just like watching this stuff doesn't make you a SEAL, watching the church service doesn't make you a Christian. Going to Bible study. I just read an awesome book called Love Does by Bob Goff. And you should pick it up. It inspired me. It's full of a whole bunch of different cool life lessons. And I'll close with this. But Bob Goff said when he first became a Christian, he started going to church. And he'd go to Bible studies and it felt a little bit weird. He said, I kind of felt like I was stalking Jesus. You know, like a stalker would know where you live, right? If you're going to be creepy on someone, you like know where they live. And then you like follow them around maybe a little bit, you know, and read up about them and Google them all the time and creep on their Facebook, you know? But they don't really have a relationship with them, okay? And you ever seen those movies or you ever seen the crazy raving fans and know like everything about the person that they're in love with, but that they've never met them, right? They're just like weirdos. Right? That's what we call them when they're that bad, when they like show up at their house, you know, like I want your autograph or I want to go into your house and sniff your hairbrush. You know, like they're weirdos. And some of us are like that with Jesus. We're like, I'm gonna go to Bible study, read all about him, I know all the stuff about him, but we don't actually have a relationship with him because we don't date him, we don't do stuff with him, we don't go out with him and do stuff. It's the same thing. So if you want your spirit to be alive inside of you, you've got to go exercise it. You've got to go do stuff. I think sometimes as Christians, we die inside because we don't exercise our spirit. We just don't go out and do it. There's nothing more energizing than a missions trip. You know, and those only come maybe once a year or two, because you got to save up a lot of money, but we can do missions trips. We can bless somebody, bless your neighbor, grab some extra groceries and just take it over. Hey, I thought of you. Encourage somebody on Twitter, you know? Leave a nice comment on someone's Facebook. Hey, I was thinking about you today. I love you. I hope that God is working mighty in your life. If you ever need something, give me a call. Just love on people. Go out and do that. Go up to a complete stranger. Why don't you come home for supper? You look like you don't have any friends. I'll be your friend. Come to my house for dinner. Those are the kind of things that Jesus would do. Here we go. You see a dude in a tree. Hey, I'm calling your house. And that's the kind of things that we need to do. And when we do that, something will come alive inside of us. A spark will come alive with this energy, this excitement of, this is scary, this is fun. And it will energize us and we will come alive. And we'll be able to be present, be with people and touch people in a spiritual way. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray for each and every person here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help them to kind of figure out where they're at. Are they dead because they don't know you? Has their spirit never even been alive? If that's them tonight, Lord, I pray that they would call out to you right now. I would ask for you to save them, to bring them to life. Lord, I pray they would feel safe enough to come and talk to me, Pastor Joe. Say, hey, I just want to tell you what's going on inside of me, and I want to talk a little bit more about this. God, I pray you would just tell them that that's what they need to do, if that's them. Lord, for those of us who might be on spiritual life support, yeah, we've been born, but we're just like hanging on. Maybe we're not feeding ourselves right, we're not in the Bible, we're not in prayer, we're not filling ourselves with spiritual stuff. Maybe that's our problem. God, I pray that we would be encouraged, that we would use all the tools available. Get a new Bible, find one that we can read, and get the Bible app, whatever it is, God, so that we can connect with you on a regular basis. And then for those who may be feeding themselves, but they're still on spiritual life support because all they're doing is eating, they're just gluttons, kind of stalking you, Lord. God, I pray that you would encourage them. Kind of step outside. Date you. Go out with you. Go on an adventure. But I pray that you would point us in the direction of adventure this week. And we would seek to bless somebody, to serve somebody, to love somebody in a way that just kind of blows them away. Lord, that's gonna do just enormous things for our spirit. But I pray that we would be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, like I said, we do take up an offering, and we'll have a couple of plates here, and we'll put a plate in the back on that stool. So if you want to exercise your giving muscle tonight, and if this is your kind of home where you say, this is where I'm going to worship, then I encourage you to take part in that. Afterwards, we usually have a snack and a hangout time, but I don't think we have a snack tonight because Darlene is busy, so she wasn't able to do it, and my wife is out of town. So if you would like to not have us not have a snack, then talk to me afterwards and we can put you on the snack list since you can cover that when we need it. But in lieu of snacking here, if you overhear somebody saying, hey, let's go out to eat, then let's do that. I'm all for it. We can go to the Eaton Park, we can go to Applebee's. We usually go to Applebee's, right? We can go somewhere and we can talk and have meaningful conversations. So please stick around and talk and find out where we're going. Let's continue to hang out.